picked up a magazine that had been on my desk for a week or two, and I hadn't had a chance to read it yet, and I pulled the wrapper off of it, and it was the November issue of Christianity Today, and it had an article in it that talked about the importance of core exercises. We hear a lot about that. If you exercise much, don't just walk and do this. Pay attention to your core, and they have exercises for that. And so the author was writing an article about exercises in a church that strengthen our spiritual core. The author in the article developed the idea that we as a church need to exercise our theological center. And I think that starts with a robust Christology. When Christ is our center, when Christ is our center, as the writer of Hebrews is going to unfold, our edges are going to hold. The writer of Hebrews doesn't find the answer for discouraged church and the latest flashy leadership gimmick. He doesn't find the answer in the razzle-dazzle of worship. Astonishingly, he believes that what they need is the simple idea of a clearer and more vibrant Christology, a fresh sense of the richness of Christ. Sometimes our fears are paralyzing, aren't they? Sometimes we get so caught up in the fear of the day that our response is to shut down and do nothing. The fear of rejection. That was a big one for me growing up. I told you before, I know you have a hard time believing it. I was the world's shyest kid in high school. I'm the kid that sat in the back of the class with his head down, sweating bullets, lest the teacher should somehow see me and want to hear what I had to say. Would my classmates make fun? Would I be rejected? What was going to happen with all of that? And my choice was to lock down and sit in the back with my head down. Fear of humiliation, embarrassment. Fear of failure. Fear of failure in our churches can often keep us from taking positive steps. Fear of failure can keep us from taking positive steps in our relationships with each other. Fear can lead to bad policy. Fear can lead to solutions that in reality deny the very essence of the gospel that we claim to believe. Fear can even reflect and affect the way that we relate to God. Because of our sin and our guilt and our feelings of inadequacy, we may fear the presence of God. The idea that God is with us every moment of every day is, on the one hand, a very comforting idea, right? On the other hand, there's a bit of that discomfort. The writer of Hebrews offers some good news to soothe our fears. No longer are we to allow fear to freeze us. We're to let grace set us free to move out with confidence into this world that God has put us in through Christ our Lord. He says we have confidence as we relate to God. Can you imagine that? Confidence at the end of life to stand before the thrice holy God of the universe who created us, who redeemed us, who loved us. We can have confidence to stand before Him through Christ our Lord. You see, as the perfect high priest, he goes on to develop the idea that Christ has offered the complete and the final sacrifice, that Jesus now sits enthroned at the right hand of God. Because of His work, Christians are being made holy and are therefore able to enter the presence of Almighty God. We saw the idea last week, but he develops it farther. Inside the tabernacle, there is this place called the Most Holy Place, and inside the Most Holy Place, there is the Ark of the Covenant. And underneath the Ark of the Covenant, there stands the law of God, threatening us, condemning us, demonstrating our guilt. And there, above the law, sits the mercy seat. And there, one time a year, the high priest would go in. He would take the blood of the animals and he would sprinkle it on the mercy seat. The blood coming between God and our sin. The writer of Hebrews says God does not look down and see our sin. Interposed between us and God is the blood and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He looks down and sees the ark of our lives with the law written in our hearts. And he sees us through Jesus. And then quoting the prophet Jeremiah, he says, "Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." Aren't you glad for the forgetfulness of God? We deal with forgetfulness all the time, right? Wow. I had a gentleman, and I want, this is a line you can use. Clyde McMasters, he was about 91 or 2 years old, but he gave me this line. I said, "Clyde, I'm having a senior moment." He says, "Oh, we don't have those. We have intellectual interludes." That sounds a lot better, doesn't it? Oh, forgive me, I'm having an intellectual interlude. There's a grace of God in which he has a divine forgetfulness, because he says, "This I will remember no more." Willingly he is forgetful. "I will forget all of your sins because they have been taken care of by Jesus Christ." Because of that, there's a confidence that we have to draw near to God, to hold fast to our hope, to invest in the lives of others. And those things are the results of this relationship and this Christology that we have. We have confidence to stand before God. Confidence in Jesus Christ. God reaches through the veil and draws us in. And what we could not do on our own, God in his grace has done for us. And we are welcomed into the presence of God as his dear children. A friend by the name of Ray Pritz. Ray lived in Israel. Ray was American. He had gone to Israel a long time ago to teach in the Hebrew University there. He'd been over there so long, his kids had been born there, his kids were Israeli citizens, his kids served in the Israeli army, they spoke Hebrew, they were thoroughly enmeshed in the culture of Palestine. But Ray was back home in Oklahoma, and he was visiting his brother, who was a member of the congregation that I served, and I'll never forget it. We were there and enjoying some time with the Pritz family. And in ran one of Ray's kids. And his daughter jumped up in Ray's lap, looked at Ray and said, "Abba, Abba!" She had a story she wanted to tell to Daddy. There was no hesitation. There was no fear. She was the child. She knew Ray was her loving dad. You and I, by the grace of God, run through the veil and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are able by grace to climb into the lap of God the Father Almighty and cry to him, "Abba, Father," and know that he hears, know that he cares. Confidence because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. The confidence gives us encouragement to hold fast, to endure, to continue on, keeping on. Confidence rooted in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The book of Hebrews, the writer exhorts us to hold fast to our hope, never lose the grip on what we claim to believe. The confidence is rooted in the idea that he who promised is faithful. In this day, it's easy to be discouraged. We need to be reminded that God is still on the throne, that Christ is still at his right hand. That is our hope, our comfort. And that confidence should free us to invest in the lives of each other. That's where the writer winds up in his thoughts. As believers, we're to consider how to constructively spur on our brothers and sisters in Christ in their journey of faith. You and I are free to take up the ministry of encouragement with each other. It's the ministry that should be happening when we gather corporately here in this place to worship. Who can I spur on and encourage this morning? Some of you do that by your very presence with us. I can't tell you how much it means to me and what a joy it is, because I know that some of you are present because others in this congregation have made that possible for them to be here. What a gift. What a gift. What a gift you give to all of us. A gift of your encouragement. Sometimes your encouragement takes the form of a smile, kind word, pat on the back. God calls us to become contagious communities of faith, encouraging each other to grow. Words of discouragement abound. There's no shortage of people to tell us that, oh, that's not going to work. What a delight it is for those that come alongside and say, come on, let's go. By the grace of God, we can. By the grace of God, we can. We may feel inadequate. We may feel discouraged. We may feel tired. But this is the place we should come. And because of the confidence that we have before God, the grace that sets us free, we are set free to encourage one another in this walk of faith. This place is to be a safe haven, a place of hope, a place of encouragement. And your small investments in that produce an eternal weight of glory that you can't begin to comprehend. I thank God for the investment that each of you makes in the life of the one sitting next to you, or behind you, or in front of you. To a group of tired Christians, the writer of Hebrews said, keep on. Keep on because the grace of God has made the difference. Keep on because the grace of God gives you confidence before God and confidence in our walk with each other. May God continue to use Northminster as a place of hope, as a place of grace, as a place of encouragement to the glory of his name. Amen.